show. It's our anime show. Anime show where we talk about anime. I'm a green queen.
And I'm a binge monster.
Hell yeah, brother. Here we are, back again. The dynamic duo. But wait, there is more. We have a special guest today. The one, the only, love of my life, the Sweet Cheeks.
What's up, y'all? Thanks for having me again. Really excited about today.
Alrighty, and now that we've all done our NBA intros for the All-Star game, I suppose.
Oh, we should 100% change the way we do intros and just bring out the, like, mid-1990s Bulls theme, the Jordan theme. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like, Green Queen, you know what I'm talking about?
I do, because we listened to it when we watched, it was the Last Dance, right? Is that the Bulls?
You watched The Last Dance with me?
Okay.
I mean, yeah, at that time you were living together,
but
right?
Yes,
yeah,
we watched it together. We didn't finish it. We never finished it, but we started that. We were watching that together.
Whoa. Yeah, it was roommates at that time.
We were roommates. And they were roommates.
They're roommates.
Yeah, but that's such a cool way to introduce ourselves. Like, we should just
do it. I can't remember how it goes.
I'm going to see if it's copyrighted. Do na na do na na do na na do na na. You know what I'm talking about?
But anyway, it just felt like when I was introducing us that I was a sports announcer or something, and everyone was doing their like walk up or something. It just felt like that. I don't know. It took that vibe. That's where I'm at today. Okay, but team, so we have something special to talk about. So, you know, oftentimes studios will go, hey, all those kids love that thing. Why don't we make it a live action? It's truly anything and everything. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but I think it's always fun to discuss and see. Because again, it works sometimes, it doesn't work sometimes. But today we are going to be talking all about Yu Yu Hakusho. Yu Yu Hakusho, an anime from the 80s? 90s? Late 80s, early 90s?
Early 90s.
Early 90s?
Early 90s.
Sorry, I couldn't remember when it first started on Toonami. Well, I guess when it first started in Japan.
Yeah.
In Japan and then on Toonami. Obviously, I'm American, so that's my point of reference. And in 2023, Netflix came out with a live-action Yu Yu Hakusho. So we're going to discuss that with the Sweet Cheeks, my description, Yu Yu Hakusho expert, my closest Yu Yu Hakusho expert. Cheeks, you've been a fan of Yu Yu Hakusho since the like day one, since the jump, if you will, an OG.
Yeah, no, like, it's been my favorite, one of my favorite anime since I was a kid, watching on Toonami.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Yusuke's Spirit Gun was my go-to move in tag, right? So,
yeah.
No, it was... You can't touch me.
Yeah.
Spirit gun! You know? So it did that. But it's been one of my favorites. It's a classic.
That immediately makes you cooler than all of the kids who used to come at me, huh? As their go-to.
Yeah, you were what do the kids say? Oh, hip? What is that word when you never mind. It's
yeah, like definitely maybe in 92 when it first aired in Japan.
You weren't alive yet.
I just looked it up. Apparently it aired in 2002 in North America. But it was in Japan in the early
That makes
90s.
Sense, because I remember watching it around like fourth grade.
Mm.
But I don't know. It's one of the first like serious anime I've seen growing up. I mean, yeah, there was a Dragon Ball Z, and I guess you could call it serious. But like I'm talking about like story driven, like it's you know, X amount of episodes. You know, it's not like, you know, turning next week for
mm-hmm.
you know, for Goku to turn Super Saiyan 3. It's like, yo, like every episode is story driven, it's on the plot, no, what's the word? Fillers, really, for the most part.
Yeah, no fillers.
Dude, I loved it. I love it. I'm rocking the shirt.
And
got the boys.
Like most, if you're looking at the streams for Smile Bomb, this guy is at least 50% of them.
I listen to Smile Bomb once a day. That's not a joke. Once a day, I listen to Smile Bomb.
It's just a good, fantastic opening.
It's gotta be. You can't be in a bad mood after hearing that. Like you could lose your job and shit, go bad, but like you feel a little better. You know, like, yeah. You can't tell me you're angrier. That's impossible. You can't tell me you got angry after hearing Smile Bomb. I don't give a shit what happened. Yeah. You're just a little bit, like,
happier.
Little, yeah, exactly. Smile Bomb's the shit. I love it. Sorry for cursing.
Oh, you're fine, please.
You two collectively create some really great content. But I have to say that one of my all-time favorite things I've ever seen you two create together was I think it was a TikTok. I think I saw it first on Instagram, but I believe it was a TikTok where you are both in the car and Allie's being driven to work at the like crack of dawn, couldn't possibly love life more in that moment. Yeah. Sarcasm. And you play some pretty decent songs, I thought. I mean, those would have hyped me up for the day, right? Like, the goal in the video was to hype her up. And she was not having Many Men by 50 Cent.
Yeah, Many Men wasn't doing it for her.
Wasn't doing it. And then out of nowhere, in what looked like a moment where you could do nothing to turn it around, you had already soured the ride for the both of you. You play Smile Bomb and bam, like you both break out in a song and it's incredible. Everyone should go watch that video. It's right the truth. Now.
That video.
Just pause this
and go podcast listen. And go listen. Watch it. Go watch that video. I'm telling you, you just can't listen to Smile Bomb and then be in a bad mood. Mm-hmm. I think it's close to damn near impossible.
Mm-hmm. Is there so this is my question, I guess, for both of you, because Binge Monster, were you also watching Yu Yu Hakusho when it was airing in the US, or was this something that you found a little bit later on? Like, when did you first watch Yu Yu Hakusho?
That's a good question. I had Yu Yu Hakusho was probably my 9th or 10th anime. So okay, let me take it back. I saw it on Toonami when I was younger, but only a couple of episodes. Cheeks here say that I watched the whole thing when I was growing up, because I really didn't. I watched a couple of episodes, but after I had watched a classic called Flame of Recca. I don't know if Cheeks, mm-hmm. I don't know if you ever watched that. That's also, I think it's older than the Yu Yu Show. I was in this like classics mode of just trying to see like, you know, what was up back then. And then after Flame of Recca, I watched Yu Yu Show, and I watched it from beginning to end. And I think that was probably like 2011. And then I watched it again full through like maybe 5 or 6 years ago, or 6 or 7 years mm-hmm. ago now. So I've seen the whole thing twice. But yeah, that's when I really watched it.
Well, I'm just wondering, you know, like as far as like the anime at the time, if we're talking about the opening, because I do think there's something to be said about Yu Yu Hakusho as a whole, you know, with that opening that I think is so iconic. I mean, that video we made, and I think at any anime convention you go to, any anime space you're in, I feel like really people are gonna know Smile Bomb. So I'm wondering, like, at the time, like, can y'all remember or think of like a song or an opening that was like really striking you in that same way? Well, I mean, maybe you have some, but Naruto was also later, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was around this similar time, because Naruto launched in 99. But I think an English opening song in an English dub with that 90s vibe to it, like, I can't really think of one that immediately stands out. There are some Dragon Ball songs, maybe, but none that, like,
have that impact.
No, not that I can think of. Like you said, like Naruto openings were a thing. Don't get me wrong. But I feel like there are not many that can make me stop mid-track and in my head belt the rest of the lyrics like that. There are not many.
I mean, Yu-Gi-Oh! Openings were lit. Do.
Like, you know? Yeah, of course.
Then, that was true. Good. And then what was the Dragon Ball Z? I was gonna say Dragon Ball Z. It was like I don't know. I don't want to say it because I'm gonna sound like an idiot. I'm probably combining two different animes with the wrong words.
And One Piece had some bops too, but there's something to be said about somehow it feels like a Japanese pop song from the 90s in English. And to me, it stands alone in the type of song that it is. You know, some of these other ones were more rock, like you think of like Pokemon, right? Like, that song also can kind of force me, even if I'm in like on an escalator at the mall, I don't even care. But it's still like a rock song, you know? Because four kids handled a lot of those openings. There's a guy on TikTok. Have we ever talked about this guy on TikTok? Sorry, this is a super quick anecdote. There's a guy on TikTok who it's just him in all the different musician seats, like the playing guitar, the drums. So he walks in as a producer, like pretending like he's busy, and he goes, "Yeah. So hey guys, I need you to make a song for this show called Yu-Gi-Oh. It's about cards. Don't worry about it. Don't make it vibe too much. Just do your thing." And then he walks out, and then like they start playing, and he like goes. But he does that for all of the anime openings.
That's amazing.
It's hysterical. And he's like, yeah, so it's about these creatures that jump into balls and fight for their masters. But you know, like try to make it exciting for once. And then they like walk out, and then they'll make the Pokemon. So dude, yeah, I'd be curious to see if he did that for this. But
oh
so
man, good. How do
I
you
have
not
to see that?
I don't know if it's my bubble, but I feel like Smile Bomb just like stands as an iconic anime opening. I don't know if that's my bubble, your influence on me. Like I don't know, but in my head, it's almost incomparable with how it just.
Do you feel like? Do you feel like that's a miss of the live action that they don't really use it at all?
Oh, not a single reference to it, no, nothing, the opening, bad. Nothing. I was like, oh, okay. This is the kind of anime. Once Smile Mom didn't open, I was like, oh, okay. I think this is going to be like a more serious tone anime, live action, which it ended up being more serious.
Yeah, what were some of your general thoughts now, having watched all only five episodes of the live action? What are your general thoughts before we like dive in a little deeper?
I mean, if you haven't seen, I guess the anime, it's it's decent. I've no like real like story critiques about it. Like again, I'm going into the spec that I didn't watch the live, I didn't watch the anime, right? So to the average person who probably never even heard of Yu Yu Hakusho and sees it on Netflix, probably like, oh, this is not bad. You know, five episodes. You binge it, like, you know, you do one a night with dinner. It's not bad, but but as someone who has seen it, the anime, it's definitely a darker tone. You know, like you don't see Yusuke laugh one time, so it's a little. Once that didn't happen, the stuff that he didn't do, I was like, oh man, this is gonna be a little dark one, but in a good way. It's still great. Not my live action isn't my cup of tea, to be honest. So I might be having that biased point of view. I really don't give it a freaking chance, but I had to because I actually love Yu Yu Hakusho.
Like generally speaking, you mean like anime to live action adaptations?
Excuse me, that's what I mean. Yeah, like I won't do the live. I just won't even watch the live action.
What is your least liked? Your worst? What do you think has been the worst anime to live adaptation?
Easy. There's only one answer for this. This has to be unanimous. Across this whole community, it is the Dragon Ball Evolution movie. I paid tickets for that in 2008. I think I might have been in ninth grade. I paid to see that movie.
Damn,
I'm sorry.
It was just so funny. It was like, is it that? In my brain the whole time the movie was like, I really paid for this, bro. And like, you know, I just got my first job folding pizza boxes. You know, so I'm like. This, all right, I just spent like and tickets.
Money
counts. And like tickets are expensive. Yeah. I took the train to see it, so it's like I take the train and then go to which was Metro North. Took the train and to White Plains to go watch the movie. And then I paid for it. I went to the movies by myself. Again, I was ninth grade, and I was like, okay, I'm excited for it. I bought popcorn. This is a week's wages because I worked after school for like 2 hours,
folding pizza
boxes, making like $6 an hour. So I spent I just spent my whole week check on this. You know, I'm so mad that I actually did this. This is a stupid movie. Piccolo and just everything looked dumb. But yeah, top number one. That's got to be unanimous. Like, I don't think anybody could really dispute that. I mean, the Titans, the live action Attack on Titan was a little funny. Because, like, it's just funny. Like, you know, the naked humans running at you. You know, I think I prefer it more on the the anime side.
Of course.
You know? But no, but definitely the Dragon Ball Evolutionist, to answer your question. So I just had PTSD right there. That was crazy.
Yeah, you really got in there.
It absolutely has to be on the list. I have to ask, just because there are so many live actions that I actively refuse to watch just out of respect for the anime. So that there could actually be something worse that I'm unaware of. But I have to ask, did you see M. Night Shyamalan's Avatar?
The Last Airbender?
I did. Okay. And you thought that was better?
I thought that was better than Dragon Ball Evolution.
And actually, it might be. You might be right. You might be right. I think I have to agree with you, actually. Because a lot of people gave shit to the Death Note live action, which I actually thought wasn't terrible with Alex.
I didn't think it was terrible either.
I mean, it wasn't great.
No, right.
I don't think it was good, and I don't think it was great, but I don't think it was terrible.
Does Alex?
But Dragon Ball Evolution was actually the worst live action thing I've ever seen. But I will say, the Avatar one hurt me more personally.
Is it?
But I admit that Dragon Ball is definitely worse. Yeah. Don't get me wrong.
I understand your point of view, though.
But Avatar,
I mean, that mean I know it means a lot. Like Avatar is like very important to you guys.
Mm-hmm.
So like I can understand. Yeah. Like you know, it kind of is the same. Like in this Yu Yu Hakusho, you know, in the anime, Yusuke is like he cracks jokes, he laughs, blah blah blah. You know, he's a different guy than. And he, with all this responsibility, he's still like the cheery guy, and like you know he's emotional, whatever. But in contrast, in the live action, he's not any of that. Yes, he has the responsibility, but he's not like happy. He's not like laughing, cracking jokes at Kuwabara. And the same thing with Aang in Avatar. You know, although the world's responsibility shows this, but he's still laughing. He's still having like you know quote unquote a good time.
Mm.
And in the M. Night Shyamalan one, it's like a very dark tone. So it's the similarities is what I'm trying to say. You know, I don't know if that's the angle. I mean, again, maybe if someone never saw the Avatar from Nickelodeon, maybe they think that's fire. But it's hard to it's hard to distinct like you know separate in my head and like it should be a one for one. Same tone, same everything.
Yeah. When we're talking about anime, anime to live action adaptation. Do you prefer or think it should be any type of way? Or just what are your general thoughts on like the conversation of having it be, like you said, a one-to-one versus something that is like, this is an interpretation, a retelling, a reframing of a story inspired by this anime?
It's a good question because I understand that in reality.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I understand that, you know, budget plays a big role in all this stuff, right? Now, it's what can you fit in our budget? And I guess, and I'm going to give benefit of doubt that in this Yu Yu Hakusho show, in their budget, they could fit 5 episodes, I'm guessing, you know? So it's like, how do you, so it's like, it's hard for me to say one for one, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But what I prefer generally, I'm not saying every episode has to match up with the anime episode. I'm not saying
that. No.
But if they could keep the same, like, almost like storyline and the sort of same feel from like the characters, like same. I want the same Yusuke I got in the anime to be the same Yusuke in the live action.
And you,
that's what I prefer.
Yusuke personally. To me, I actually like to like now talk about Yusuke. Like Yusuke in the anime to me, very tough guy, but like feels somehow like softer than the Yusuke that we got in the live action
100%
as well. I don't know, Binge, what were your general thoughts on the Yusuke live action versus Yusuke anime differences there?
I mean, I think I'm inclined to agree with Cheese's analysis here of the fact that he's really not who he is in the anime at all. And I think a part of that is unfortunate because underneath the tough guy veneer is just a genuinely good human being. And you get to see that and you get to see the kind of joy he brings to others and, you know, how his laugh can diffuse a really tense situation. That's a really important dynamic of his character. And I think that a lot of those moments get pushed aside in a lot of live action adaptations for the sake of pushing the plot faster, which just makes the plot not as robust or the characters are not as fleshed out for that very reason. And proof of that is in how quickly they're moving in Yu Yu Hakusho right now and how they're blending arcs together that really didn't work that way in the show. And it's interesting because, I think I agree with you also about the budget. It's interesting because I have to imagine budget plays a huge role also. When I look at what One Piece was able to do, regardless of people's opinion about it, it was impressive in terms of how they were able to bring the same physicality in here. And I think they're trying to do that in a way, but it feels more thematic than it does the organic fighting styles that that you see in anime. And that's hard to do. I think we talked about this in the One Piece episode. It's hard to do to adapt that, because that's one of the things that anime has as an art medium that, you know, live television does not, which is the flexibility to make people move like that.
Yeah,
that's true. Yeah.
Human beings can't move like that, you know? Unless it's 100% CGI, even the techniques that they use with their weapons are impossible to replicate. You know, for example, Kurama somehow feels scarier but kinder in the anime than he does in the show. Just because, like, his use of plants, in your perception, you'd feel like that's not a problem. And then you see how he uses them, you're like, no, he might be the biggest problem, actually. Like, the potential, just because he's able to think about using plants in a different way than you can imagine, is unique. So, and nonetheless, like, when you look at his techniques, again, how do you replicate that in real life? Like, I think it's really difficult. So, I don't know, for the sake of pushing plot and for the sake of trying to adapt the physicality, I guess I can understand why they're willing to sacrifice on some things, but it's hard. Like, there's got to be some balance that they strike there to keep true loving fans happy, because otherwise, you really aren't creating the same character at all. And then to your question earlier, Ali, which I think is a fabulous question, should they just create something new that isn't actually called that title but is clearly inspired by it? Or should they remake the thing? And I'm on the camp of, like, if you can't do it really well, I don't know. Like, are you hurting the brand more than you're helping it? Potentially. I don't think what we're seeing in Yu Yu Hakusho is quite what we saw in Dragon Ball Evolution by any stretch.
This is light years better.
But still. Yeah, for sure. But still, it's you know.
Yeah, like, I think it's interesting because, because you brought up One Piece, and it's something that I think I definitely mentioned in that show. And I don't mean to compare the One Piece live action and the Yu Yu Hakusho live action, but they're timingly very similar in their, like, prolific anime turned into, you know, and we've had some story changes and so forth. But I think that, you know, what they do with One Piece, to your point, Binge, is, like, they really do they walk a fine line, but they really do pay homage to these characters from One Piece, where you can really see, like, oh, this is kind of, like, what the embodiment of these characters would be. Like, the text feels very similar to how they speak in One Piece, and maybe there are some story changes where we're progressing the story maybe a little faster than the anime, but in a way that doesn't feel like we're cutting out things that are really important in the anime. And that's just my perspective, because I don't think I've watched the anime up and through what would be the first season of the live action One Piece. But, you know, when we're talking about Yu Hakusho, like, whatever the director did for One Piece clearly kind of did that. And this, to me, when we're talking about the Yu Hakusho live action, felt like the director's interpretation. Like, it very much gave me a J-horror vibe the entire time. And the fight scenes were immaculate. I have to say, the violence and the staged violence of the live action Yu Hakusho were masterpieces from my perspective. Like, these actors or the stunt actors that worked on this are clearly very, very gifted. But, like, I don't think I got that far in the anime of Yu Yu Hakusho to really observe how they do that kind of animation style for fight scenes. But when I was looking, you know what I mean? I would want to hear from both of you about that. But when I was looking at what this director has done, the director of the Yu Yu Hakusho live action, you know, he has a wide variety of things that he's done, but he definitely has done some horror in his career. I think one of his major films was a horror film, which I was like, well, that was my assumption, given what I was seeing here. Right. So, like, it was a retelling, but clearly with a different tone altogether, like, which to me really spoke horror, which, like, I guess for a horror series, I was like, yeah, this is good. But again, like, whoever this director is kind of loses us in just really jumping through the story in a way where, yeah, to fresh eyes, it will make sense. But to people that, like, love this story, we're like, wait, we miss these critical things that make Yusuke into who he is, or delve into that relationship that make us really care about that. And we miss some of those things, which is super unfortunate. But that was just kind of my two cents. And I would be interested to hear from you too. Just like your general thoughts on that, and more specifically, the fighting style versus anime to live action.
Do you want to take the fighting style and answer the other question? And I'll answer the other.
What question. Was the other question? Because I just know the fighting style question.
The other. my take on that was that there was a question about, like, how the director's past work informs how, like, stylistically this is being done, and how that stacks up against a Yu Yu Hakusho. I guess I'll answer that super quickly, because
listen, I'd rather, you're better than me. I don't know any of that. So that's information.
So I think that, like, at the end of the day, this is a business, and I'm just quickly going to bring up One Piece again, because I think it's relevant to the point, which is that One Piece is globally just a huge title that is smashed the records for most manga sold, and just has this massive, massive, massive global following to this day, a very relevant present audience that Netflix felt confident would show up to watch this title. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that Yu Yu Hakusho didn't also have a large audience, but it couldn't have been as large as what One Piece is today, just because One Piece has been around forever and it's still currently running. So it has that benefit. Yeah. Right. And so it makes sense that they were able to do that. And I think Yu Yu Hakusho is, as a title, is probably put in this tough spot where it needs to generate audience fast in order to justify maybe a season two. And so from that perspective, they probably had to optimize this season to get to plot points that might hook in an audience from their perspective faster. And so maybe if they did take the time to flesh out some of those characters in the way that we did, you know, maybe the old fans would be happy about it, but they wouldn't be able to gather the mass appeal that it would need from a viewership perspective who are coming into this new to justify a season two. Right. So that's how I also look at it, as well as, you know, maybe they were trying to do that. On the fighting style side, though, I think this is super open to interpretation. I think I fully agree with you. The stunt choreography is incredible. Like, how they're getting tossed around and slamming into walls and cars and fire is just unbelievable. It looks really good. And yet it is a different fighting style from the anime, but it feels like a 90s. I don't know. It still has that kind of 90s pompadour gangster style, you know, rumble theme to it that somehow still feels on brand for at least where they're at in the first few episodes of Yu Yu Hakusho, where, you know, Yusuke is still learning the spirit gun and learning how to use his spirit powers. I'll be interested to see how that evolves, because I haven't made it to the newest episode, so I don't think I've seen him perform like a true spirit gun yet. I've seen him shoot the one down one of the characters' face, but that's not the same as like a true blue, you know, standing point, right? Exactly. But yeah, that's my thing. How do you feel about that, though? I mean, that's how I feel.
I mean,
about
I agree
it.
With you on the. Your first part. I can't justify, like, properly give an answer about directors and all that. I really am so ignorant to that. But the fight scenes, definitely, I prefer the fight scenes on a live action. That was pretty cool. Like Yusuke fighting in the junkyard, and even in the end, like, Hiei versus Bui, and Kurama versus the other guy in Team Tagoro.
Who's the character with that small with the black hair?
Hiei.
Fantastic.
Yeah, that was so cool.
Actor who was his stunt person or him. Like, fantastic physicality. Sorry.
No, it's fine. No, I obviously the fights were more in intense in the live action for sure. Because, you know, obviously when someone's running fast in the anime, all you see them running normal, but then you just see like in the back behind them, it's just something like, you know, lights flash and going really fast just to indicate them going fast. So definitely I prefer the live action. It's phenomenal. They did a great job with that. I give them that for sure. 100%.
It almost feels like if we're going to talk about budget, it feels like almost the entire budget went into that, or like the special effects for some of the monsters. Oh, and that fight with you must have gotten to it. That fight where the first bug comes into the nerd who's being bullied.
Yeah, that fire one. Yeah.
Yeah.
That actor was incredible. Yeah, he killed also, it. That actor was phenomenal. Yeah. And that fight scene was phenomenal. But the time and the budget it takes, I mean, I don't know exactly how the industry is in Japan, but if this is a Netflix property, I could maybe assume the wages and day rate and so forth would be similar to something that they would do for like a SAG-AFTRA actor. And that is expensive. Like it had a lot. It felt very fight heavy to me.
Mm-hmm.
It felt very fight heavy to me. The entire live action.
I guess is what you... It's kind of what you want, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
In a 5-episode series, you want some action quick.
Mm-hmm.
I guess action over a plot.
So do you feel like Yu Yu Hakusho has like a lot of action? The anime.
Oh, for sure.
Uh huh.
It's just not as I felt like in this it was very condensed, and it was. It was seen more of it in a live action, but there's definitely a lot of fights in the anime as well. Yeah. Definitely more.
I mean, it's like in very simple terms, it's a fighting anime. Like he has to fight to get to do the next thing that he has to do, and the team has to band together and do big fight, right? Like,
yeah, basically, yeah. In both in the anime and also in the live action, he actually like evolves in the live action. It's like insane.
It's really interesting to hear you say that, because I could imagine sitting in the Netflix executive room and have somebody say what people care about with anime. That tends to get the quickest mass appeal is just lots of fighting. And what we're saying is that one of the things that we miss is that the not fighting moments, the softer moments where Yusuke is laughing and the dialogue and some of the things that make, you know, some of those action sequences as meaningful as they are in the anime. That being said, you know, that's probably what more people want, right? Is just more action all the way through that keeps them, you know, focused. And to some degree, I haven't seen the Hiei episode. I'm really excited now that you guys have said that to see it, because I was really worried about that, actually. As I saw how they did Kurama, and I wasn't super thrilled with his thorn technique, but sounds like they really nailed Hiei, and I was interested to see that. But yeah, I'd be really curious to see how it's doing in terms of viewership, because again, I don't think that it'll survive if just old Yu Yu Hakusho fans, you know, somewhat show up to watch it. I think they need to get mass appeal if they want a season two.
I agree.
Would you say where the live action ends, about how much of the way through would you say that is for the anime all encompassing? Like, are we 1/3? Are we halfway? Are we 1/4? Like, are we 2% through the story of the entire anime?
So in those 5 episodes of the live action, it really kind of like combines different aspect, different plot lines from from 2 seasons of it. The first season being, you know, when Yusuke becomes spirit detective and then has to fight the Saint Beast, right? And then season two is season one. Excuse me. They also save Hiei's sister. All that. Sorry, if that's all spoilers for you guys, but yeah, you know that all that stuff. Yeah. You know, and also they combine that and the fighting lineup in the dark tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for instance, it's like Kurama versus Karasu. Karasu, I think that's how you say your name. And then like Hiei versus Bui. Again, this is all everybody in Toguro's team, you know. And then Toguro, the elder Toguro, the one who's a shapeshifter, fighting Kuwabara.
Mm-hmm.
But in the anime, it's like it's that's in the Dark Tournament. But in the live action, it's they put it in the plot where in season one where you have to go save Hiei's sister Yukina.
Uh-huh.
So I'm saying like they pick and they kind of like melded it in together, like two arcs together.
Yeah, they like, take different aspects and make it into like.
So they also skip the Genkai arc, the Genkai that too, and the Genkai
can, exactly that. That's a great point. Yeah, like you know, like in the live action, she gives up the spirit wave orb, and you don't get that spirit wave orb. Yusuke doesn't get that until the end, like season four. I think, right?
He gets it right before
he fights season two. So, like, you know what I'm saying? It's a lot of things that get mixed together. And, like,
that was. Sorry.
No, I was just going. I was about to go, like, go on a tangent. Cause, like, you know, in the anime, it's Yusuke who trains with Genkai. Uh-huh. You know? But in the live action, it's Yusuke and Kuwabara.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It's like. But, like, he learns.
Oh no! Kuwabara also trains with Genkai too in the anime.
Does he?
But he doesn't. They don't. So they go to her house and they both get selected and they train.
In the anime, she has like a one-on-one with those eight people. Yeah. Okay. Fine. You're gonna call that fine. We'll call that the. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So the thing is like even when we're talking about the live action, like the relationship between and can you tell me the name again? Genkai.
Genkai. She's the sensei.
Yeah. The relationship between Genkai and Urameshi, or Yusuke, like, not there for me in the live action, which really sad about. Because Genkai, I can tell, is, like, and I haven't gotten there in the anime itself, but, like, is a very important figure. Yeah. And, like, the storyline for that character... And I guess this is kind of the thing that we're pointing to with the live action. Like, the characters just fall flat for me. And, like, I don't care. And I know I should. You know what I mean?
Yeah. She definitely means more to Yusuke in the anime than she does in the live action. Yeah. For sure. 100%.
Oh, man. That's tough.
Yeah. Sorry.
I mean, the whole, like, that's how Yusuke, like, levels up in the anime.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Her passing. But in the live action, that's not why, you know? He levels up to, you know, protect Keiko and his friends, the people he considers his friends or his peers or whatever. So it's kind of the same, but
yeah,
it's a little, it's like you said, the relationships aren't really dived in the live action, but what can you do in five episodes? You know,
it's like, I know.
It's a little surprising that they took that approach just because the Dark Tournament could easily make a phenomenal.
Oh man, Dark Tournament was so good.
There's enough action. There's enough action in the Yukina rescue arc to carry through what I would assume to be the same thing that would like justify fans and seeing like a lot of action and the crew coming together and really forming that bond. Like it feels unnecessary to have done all of that in the first season. The Dark Tournament arc is quite literally considered amongst most anime fans to be of the greatest tournament arcs of all anime.
I feel like that could have been. Yeah, I agree with you. It could have been in season two. That alone could have been seen too, but
I do have another question to switch gears a little bit. I want to know both of your opinions on Keiko in the live action. Having watched what you've watched, what are your opinions on what they do with Keiko? Just her character, her and Urameshi or Yusuke, that relationship. Like, what? How do you feel like that translates anime to live action? That relationship and that character.
You want me to go first?
Yeah, you go.
Do it.
I mean, I think the Keiko in the anime is the one, like, she's the gold standard, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Gold standard in terms of, like, she wants the best for Yusuke. She'll wait for him forever.
Uh-huh.
But, like, at the end, she's like, I'm not waiting for you anymore. You know, that scene at the beach. She's like, I'm not waiting for you anymore, Yusuke.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. I love that scene that he shows up. But anyway, does it do the same in the live action? Kind of. I don't know. I just feel it more with the anime.
Yeah.
I might be jaded and like, you know, I have a bias, but I don't know. She does care, but she doesn't play like she plays like the kidnapped role. Like she's like someone who's like, needs to get saved. Like I said, I don't think Tagoro in the anime, Tagoro doesn't, does she rescue? No. Does Tagoro like kidnap her? Right? No. Right. But in the live action, that to create that, like, yeah, to tension. Create the damsel in distress type, you know, like Yukina and her, you know. But she's a tough girl. I'll say that, you know, in the anime, she's a tough girl. In the live action, she's a tough girl.
Mm.
You know, she was ready to rescue Yukina. So, Yukina, let's get out of here, you know, when they were in the cell.
Yeah.
So, she's a tough girl in both of them. I'll say that.
Mm-hmm.
But I love the Keiko in the anime.
I know.
She's just a loyal ride or die. You know, she's the class leader. So, she's trying to get Yusuke to come to class and Yusuke not going to class. And, you know.
She has more to work with, though. She has more to work with in terms of dialogue and a more fleshed out Yusuke that has that other dimension to their relationship, right? Like, everyone just sees him as delinquent and she doesn't, and that's a part of what makes it so great, and that's why it's also a huge miss in the live action to not have the true Yusuke that we're used to. And I think that, not to spoil it, but that's that beach scene that you referenced that happens towards the end of the series, for me, is what solidifies Keiko as such a great character, because there is that very naive, there is that very kind of naive younger teenager mentality of like, I'm going to love this person forever and nothing will change that. And then you see her grow up to become a young adult and realize, like, I gotta live my life. Like, I have to move on. I have, like, I am not just a stone on the beach waiting for the next wave I've been waiting for to come. Like, I have a life. Even though that's what I want, I have a life. And then, you know, we see how that moment ends. But for me, that's better than just being that damsel archetype that is incapable of living their life without the, you know, protagonist and that dependency, which is what I think is really great about Keiko. And sounds like, at least from what I've seen too, they're missing a little of that element. And I think, you know, when I was saying that she has more to work with in anime, she gets to make a lot of choices for herself because she gets to see those other sides of Yusuke and she gets to see these other things that no one else does. And without seeing those, she can't make those choices in the live action. So I think that's where her character's falling flat. She's working with what she has written in the dialogue.
That, I would agree. I mean, that was my thoughts as well. I was like, Keiko really falls flat for me. Like, even if it's like, it's something about like her lines, like she just feels a little bit more outspoken to me, even in the anime. And again, I didn't even get that far, but like, I think that she was done really dirty in the live action, unfortunately. I mean, maybe, you know, it gets a little better, but I don't know. There was something about her that was missing for me. And I felt like that was not a fault of the actress at all necessarily, but to a fault of the creators.
Yeah. Whoever made this script.
I actually was really, unhappy with her casting before I even watched it because I didn't think she looked like her at all.
Yeah.
And then, not that that matters. But there was something though. I don't know if you agree with me, Cheeks, but there is this common, you know, trope in anime where all of the characters in the high school, all of the kids in a high school look the same except for the main characters that matter. So anyone with anything worth acknowledging, that's a distinction. You go, okay, probably that character is going to be important at some point, right? And with Keiko, she was designed significantly differently than some of the other characters in the high school. And I'm not saying that they didn't pick someone who doesn't look different, but what I'm saying is her features are softer in the anime. Like she is a little bit more unique. She does stand out a little bit more as like an independent person. And so I don't know. I felt like they didn't pick someone with soft features. I feel like they didn't pick someone that like feels warm just by looking at them.
Interesting.
I thought she's a good actress. Yeah. I think she's a better actress than I expected her to be. And again, I think she's working with what she has, but I actually thought it was a little bit of a miscast.
I like that.
I don't know. I don't know if you felt that
way. Yeah, it might have been a miscast. I don't want to come for her because it's very hard to step into a role where you are literally becoming a character that already exists and is loved and adored in some capacity. Yes. So that undertaking in and of itself is a dream and a curse, because I'm sure there's so many Toonami bros out there that are like, Duckwell stinks, and it's probably just because her tits weren't out. But anyway, we'll wrap that up for another time. Yeah, I really feel like something about the wardrobe, the wig, the hair choice, something about her didn't feel like that's Keiko. I don't know. But so, like, just to kind of gather our overall thoughts, our 1-2 line consensus on the Yu Yu Hakusho live action, what would you say, Cheeks? For someone who, give us a take for someone who's watched the anime and for someone who hasn't watched the anime.
Okay. What would you say to someone? If you haven't, I mean, you know, I'll say this. Definitely go watch it. All right. It's still a decent story, like the live action. Mm-hmm. Decent story. Again, it's something that pairs well with dinner. You know, you're eating and you're watching at the same time. You know, it's interesting enough, you know, and it's great fighting. Mm-hmm. You know, as we all are in agreement here. But if you could, after those 5 episodes, I challenge you to step foot and watch those 112 anime episodes, okay? I promise you, you won't regret it. It's a classic. It wouldn't be on that upper echelon of anime if I just said it. Clearly, millions of other people agree. Mm-hmm. Okay, so, yeah, definitely watch the live action, get your toes wet, and then you can see the changes, you know, mm-hmm. you could see how the Makai insects, they don't come until later on in the season one. And you'll see that in live action, they're introduced in the first episode. All right. But anyway, I didn't want to dive too deep into that. Definitely watch both. Mm-hmm. And I mean, to be honest, I haven't seen a lot of live action because I'm still scarred from, you know, ninth grade Dragon Ball. So I don't have this repertoire of live actions to compare it to. Mm-hmm. But it's you know, I'm going from Dragon Ball Evolution to now this, because I didn't see the One Piece one. Mm-hmm. I didn't. Or the Rurouni Kenshin, even though Rurouni Kenshin is my favorite anime. Didn't watch. I'm just not a fan of live action anime, because I don't want to be like, I don't want to, you know, chop it. Because mm-hmm. I'm sure tons of people work hard on this, on set, from whatever. So I'm not trying to discredit any of them mm-hmm. by my biased views, even if they might be right.
I was about to say, I was like, and shake my hand and tell me in good faith that if we weren't grabbing a beer right now and talking about this, you wouldn't be like, yo, fuck that live action.
No, but definitely, in terms of Yu Yu Hakusho, definitely go watch it. It's great. The live action is good, but the anime is even better. So that's my final answer. I know you said 1-2 lines.
That's all right. You're our guest.
I did a college
dissertation.
Yeah, dissertation right there. You know, like, and that's why you should choose me for class president.
No, I agree with a lot of your sentiments, though. I would agree. Like, the live action, like, it's good. It's fine. If you are a fan of combat and fight on screen, it's very, very good. Yeah. Especially since we're throwing in elements of, like, I guess to a blind eye, you could say supernatural, and different elements of fighting styles and so forth. And oh, we did forget to hear how you about the spirit bomb. I think the spirit gun looks pretty cool in the live action.
Oh yeah, for sure. It's the first time you see it in live. You know, I saw that when I was like, what was third grade, whatever that was, 8. You know, I'm like 12. 22 years later, it's the first time you've seen it. I was pumped.
It's kind of electric. It's pretty cool. So, like, if you were a fan of that, definitely watch the live action. But I would agree. I'm like, if you have the means and time and you would prefer to just watch the original source material, it feels like a better experience.
Yeah. I did it in 4 days, so anyone could do it.
When you think about it, it's only 110. My clients always get mad at me. They're like, Miss Green, you can't just say only in front of the number and then make it better. And I'm like, but it's only 110.
But it's only like you, it's like 110 times 17, because each episode 17, because there's like, it's 22 minutes. Yeah. And there's the recap, and then also there's the outro. It's like, whoa,
we're losing them. We're losing
them.
Sorry. Well, no, it's divided by 3, right? It's really like 33 hours.
Something
right?
like that. Like, yeah.
Okay, you You have all scared them away, saying, oh, yeah, it's just it's just basically a day or two of your life.
33 episodes. 33 one-hour episodes.
I'm in there.
I know.
My quick take on this is that if you've never heard of Yu Yu Hakusho, or if you've never watched it, or you've always wanted to get to it, if you want a Spark Notes version of just kind of what the show is about and what its potential is, this is a good way to watch it. And then, yeah, like you both said, if you enjoy it, then go watch the anime or go read it. The other thing that I would say is if you are a K-drama fan, you probably will like this.
It's a good point.
I've heard, and my wife actually said that the other day, this just feels a little bit like a K-drama. She had no idea. She knew nothing about Yu Yu Hakusho. And she watches tons of K-dramas. And, you know, there's definitely, for some of those fantasy K-dramas out there, there's definitely some elements here that I think people would find nostalgic or similar, right? So, you know, give it a try. It won't hurt you if you've never watch the anime to try something like this and to watch it. And if you have, to remember, at least we have it in live action. It's better having it than nothing. And then, you know, maybe it gives you an excuse to watch the anime again, like Cheeks did instinctually.
Dude, it was a decade since I've seen it. I saw it like in college in 2012, yeah. My first time like ever rewatching it. So it's been a while. So I was pumped. Yeah. I'm actually happy I did this. Truly. I don't regret it. And it's all because you told me, hey, you want to talk about Yu Yu Hakusho? I was like, hell yeah, dude.
I love Yu Yu Hakusho.
Let me go refresh.
Literally the biggest Yu Yu Hakusho fan I know. I didn't know anything. I didn't start watching Yu Yu Hakusho. I bought you Yu Yu Hakusho coasters for your desk.
Oh, yeah. Which
one was this one? Like, I don't know. Like, I didn't know the characters. I didn't know anything. I was just like, yeah, Yu Yu Hakusho. Kuwabara? That's Kuwabara.
You're messy.
That was a Kuwabara. Who's your favorite character? And before we sign off, who's your favorite character from Yu Yu Hakusho, Kuwabara, the anime, 100%. And who's your favorite character from the live action?
Okay. Kuwabara in the anime. Because he's just that guy. Mm-hmm. He's down, like, he's big on, like, yep. This is the man way. You know, like, you know, just, like, you know, rather, like, fall on your sword than, like, you know, wait for your impending death. He's like, nah, I'm pulling up. You know, like, I don't care if I die. And if it means my boys and my friends get to go, I'll gladly fall on that sword. And I'm like, I love that. That's a man's man. I love him.
Yeah.
And he always says this anime. He's like, I have an honor code. You know, and it's always, that's his thing. He's like, I got an honor code. I don't do no wrong, you know? And that's something admirable about him, even though, like, he's kind of dumb. He's kind of doofish, you know? But you love him.
You gotta love him.
Parts of his,
you can't hate on Kuwabara.
Some parts of his intelligence, so those parts of the brain came right down here, and made a big
big heart guy. Like, you know, you can't. And in the live action, man, I do like. I guess if I had to pick out of the four, because it's really just the four. Yeah, I guess you gotta go. You know what? I'll say this. I also Kuwabara, okay? And I'll say exactly why.
Okay.
I'll say exactly why, all right? It's their training with Genkai, right? And, you know, Yusuke's, he's trying to stand on the needle point, you know, on that big spike. He's trying to stand on the spike, and he's like, oh, this is stupid. Why am I even listening to this old hag? You know, whatever. And he goes outside, and he sees Kuwabara swinging the wooden sword at the rock. You know, he's like, because Genkai told him, you can't leave here until you cut that rock, this big boulder. And it's a wooden sword. And Yusuke's making fun of him. And Botan's like, if you had, or you, Botan, or was it Genkai? I don't remember. One of them says to Yusuke, if you had as much like heart and determination as Kuwabara, you'd be the strong, like you'd be, like you're the sky's the limit for you. You know, if you just had that heart, that dog in you. And that's why I'm like, and then, it clicked with Yusuke when he saw, he just like, you know, he kind of did give up. And then later on that night, he still hears the swinging of Kuwabara, like hitting that thing. Kuwabara has like this monologue in his brain. It's like he needs to get stronger to protect his friends. And because his friends back home, he feels guilty about the fire. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm getting emotional. I love Cool Bar. Anyway, but like he gets he something in him, he sparks that spirit sword to come out, and then Yusuke gets inspired by that. So I would argue that if that didn't happen, the Yusuke in that live action would be a fucking delinquent. He would not have beaten Tagoro. He needed to see like something like that happen. It's like, yeah, someone like it just goes to that saying. It's like, you know, hard work always beats talent. You know, Yusuke has all the talent. He had all the spirit energy in the world. But like, you know, he got in that moment, Cool Bar beat him. And he saw it, you know? So it's like, I would say Cool Bar also there. Boom. I didn't think I'd say that, to be honest.
Nice.
Cool Bar. They did Cool Bar very good Cool Bar in the live action. I'll say that. He was spectacular.
He really represents that like Japanese fighting spirit motto. Yeah. He really embodies that so well, but in like such a beautiful and heartwarming way. He's definitely my favorite in the original. I don't know that I have a favorite in live action because I'm not fully caught up. I think I'm on episode 3. So far, it's still probably Cool Bar.
I promise you, you're gonna compare all the scenes and like, yeah, Cool Bar is that guy. He got the dog in him.
Yeah.
No retreat, no surrender.
Yeah.
I'm down for the boys.
Right.
And you know, I don't care if I gotta go down, I'm taking you with me. Like that's Cool Bar, and I love that about him.
Mm-hmm. For sure. All right, and with that, I think that's been our show. Thank you for listening. I've been a Binge Monster.
I've been a Green Queen.
And it's your boy Cheeks.